We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I am buying that Tom Brady loves Bill Belichick. I just don't think the love is unconditional anymore, like any other relationship.
That's relationships.
Yeah. Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
He's played.
No, he played
in the preseason game.
Preseason game.
And only first half.
No!
Keith, I've never been so wrong.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2.
But ultimately, don't we all say that to Rich at some point or another? Keith, I've never been so wrong.
Yeah, I've heard it.
I mean, we all say it.
I've heard it several times.
None of us mean it. We all say it.
That was the first time I was ever been wrong in a year and a half on this program.
Was that the time?
I was wrong
and
yesterday.
I missed it?
And I was the bigger man.
No!
And I admitted it, but that was in the past, Dale. I think we're all ready to move on.
Move forward here.
That's what we're doing.
Mark James is in the house as well. Fellas, how are you?
Good.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Dale? Your long weekend? You're back?
How was the Bay Area?
It was great. Well, not the Bay Area. I was up in Maine.
Bay
Area is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's right. It's coming up. All right.
No, I have for a number of years now participated in this event, the George H.W. Bush Cape Arundel Celebrity Golf Classic. And I used to golf in it, which was great.
They don't have you do that anymore.
Well, no, it's just they said to me a few years ago, would you mind emceeing the gala the night before? And I started doing that a few years ago.
And that's what they want you
for. And they keep asking me. And I can't take 2 days off.
Right.
So I have to make a choice. I can either emcee the gala, which I'm happy to do. It's a wonderful event. Or I can play, which was this morning at 8:30. So it was
their call. They said, "Oh, it's MC."
No, they said it's my call. No, it's my call.
Oh, it's your
call.
But
they would prefer I do that.
Well, we have our own golf event coming up next month.
Yes, and I'll be there.
So you'll be there for that. Very good.
Can I tell you about a guy I met yesterday? And I'm dead serious. I'm not going to break this whole thing down, but I got to tell you about this guy I met last night. Staff Sergeant Travis Mills. This man is an American badass. He was a wounded warrior, but wounded beyond anything that most of us have to ever deal with. He had both arms and both legs blown off in Afghanistan. And I met him last night. He's got two artificial legs. He's got a prosthetic left arm. He doesn't have a prosthetic on his right arm. He just has a stub at about the bicep thing. And he is doing stuff up in Maine. He put together the Travis Mills Foundation. He has, along with others, built this this camp for wounded warriors up in Maine. This guy is unbelievable. And I met him last night and had a chance to talk to him for a little bit. And he's got the prosthetic left arm. And he said, I'm Travis Mills. I said, how do you do? I'm Dale Arnold. And I shook his prosthetic left hand. He, put it out. And I said, this is my wife, Susan. And she reached out and she took a hold of his left arm. And he goes, and he crunches up. Then he looks at her. He says, I was only kidding. She was panicked for a little bit.
Wow.
But he's unbelievable. And people in Maine have known about this guy for a while. It's the first chance I ever had to meet him. But, you meet somebody who hasn't made the ultimate sacrifice, but it's about half a step below, isn't it?
Right there. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like 9/10 of it. Like he's wow, that is great.
I met him last night, had a chance to talk to him a little bit, and he said to me on Twitter today, he says, let's grab a beer sometime. Now, that's a guy I want to sit around and have a beer with.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
And just talk and listen to the guy. So I did not get a chance. Now, I told the guys this. They didn't believe me. I was staying at a beautiful old hotel in Kennebunkport, around the corner from Walker's Point where the president lives. And this old hotel on the National Historic Register and all that doesn't have TVs. It's that old that
no TVs.
You don't have TVs in
your room. I've been to hotels that have just standard def, And I say, you know what? At that point, why do you have no TV? Just take it out of the wall at this point. Yeah. You're not going to upgrade to the HD. No. Or they do what's even worse is it's the HD TV, but they don't pay for the HD subscription.
Oh.
So you're watching it cut off. It's all stretched. I'm like, you know what? At that point, just rip them right out of the wall.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't make
any
sense.
Kind of like the TVs around here.
Yeah. Well, similar.
Some of them, yeah.
I'm not going to rip them out of the wall. Over there.
Yeah. But that one's not HD at all.
So,
but more peaceful though, Dale.
They have a TV in the bar downstairs.
Okay.
So, you know, you could go down and watch the Red Sox if you're a mind.
You can watch the World Cup
action. That was on yesterday afternoon. I passed through on my way to the pool.
So no TV. You're thinking
I didn't see Oprah and Brady.
Oh, what a sit down
until
it was
today.
Yeah.
So I got in here today and I pulled it up on the computer in there.
Yeah.
And you guys were all talking and doing the show stuff, and I'm sitting there with my headphones on because I wanted to hear this stuff.
Pretty good, huh?
You know what?
You liked it.
He's getting ready to check out.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Dale.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
He is getting ready to cash his chips in.
You think it's one? Or do you think it's two? I'm still saying two. Dickerson was on yesterday. He was pretty adamant based on how that interview played out that this is the last year we're going to see of him. And it's hard to argue that.
I said after 2019, two more years.
So I think two.
Yep.
I think it's going to be two. And
I'll be happy if you get two.
I know. The way it's going, it just seems like what a difference a year makes.
And here's the thing that it's sort of, as a Patriots fan, draw your ires the fact that where was this a year ago when Jimmy G was still in the fold?
I know.
You know, where was this? Oh, he could have done an interview coming off a 28-3 comeback in Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons. I'm sure Oprah would have, you know, interviewed him then. Where was this a year ago? Here's my thing, guys. Priorities in Brady's life. It's family, TB12, and I think Patriots, and I hate to even say this, I think it's not only third, I think it's a distant third. The way that came off, and of course, when he was when he was asked about the relationship with Bill Belichick, he made a long, pregnant pause that Jim Rome would have made Jim Rome blush.
Well, I was going to start there. This is this is the question Oprah asked. Now, she had a little trouble pronouncing Belichick.
She doesn't know who it is.
No, she doesn't have a
clue. She doesn't know who he is.
No. Jim Gray, who's got Belichick. The headphones on the other side of the
camera. By the way, that was real weird. Weird cutaway.
Scratchy wrote five or six of the questions. I think it's pretty clear.
Probably this
one
he should have put a pronunciator in.
Well, maybe.
Because this is what she asked.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean, I love him,
mm-hmm.
You know, I love that he's a incredible, you know, coach, mentor for me. And he's pushed me in a lot of ways
mm-hmm.
and, like everything, we don't agree on absolutely everything, but that's relationships. Yeah.
Yeah.
That big pregnant pause at the beginning and I'm watching. You know, they've got the camera right on Brady, you know, the one shot, as we would say. And
is there something going on with you and Belichick?
All right.
I mean,
and you can see him kind of darting around.
I mean, I love him.
He loves him. But Dale,
can we cut this?
You know that he knew that question was coming, too.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't surprise him with anything.
Like, you figured he'd have a canned sort of answer. Yeah. Like she's going to ask about Belichick or Belichick in this situation.
Like, no, we've had a relationship for a long time, but no, there's nothing going. There's nothing. Because she didn't even ask if there's a problem. She said, is there something?
Yeah.
This was the first time, and I understand he's got another part of his life. I'm not talking about the family. I'm talking about the business end of it.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, the TB12 stuff and the facilities and all that. This is the first time where I thought, you know what, this is just flat out a commercial for TB12.
That's it.
You showed the book before the interview started.
This entire thing, segment, is one long commercial for TB12. Oh, we'll work in a question or two about this, or how long does it take you to get over the Super Bowls? But this whole thing was a commercial for TB12.
But it makes sense because it's a different audience. Oprah moves books. You go on there. The book sales are probably going to go up on it. The interest. You know, she's talking to him because we're so focused. We're obsessed with everything with all the sports teams here. And so we think a lot of people feel the same way. In reality, not the case. She's reading through the book being like, oh my God, you were the 199th pick? Like, I'd never heard of that. Like, that was 20 years ago.
I know.
It's brought up every year at the Super Bowl. Like, these are things that we all knew, but she was like Deflategate, as the press called it. Like, that's just, she speaks for so many other people that aren't obsessed with sports, who Brady would also like to tap into as far as, you know, buying stuff on the website, buying the book, subscribing to the TB12 method. So I get why he did the interview, but that is very clear. Like
did Deflategate, as the press called it?
No clue. No clue what it is. No clue.
No.
Deflate. Gate.
If you asked Oprah,
what did Deflate Gate, as the press call it, teach you?
If you flipped it on her and said, "What did you think of Deflate Gate?"
Oh my God,
she would have been like, "What?
You think
what?
He had a pregnant boss?"
Wow, wow. Like no chance.
You know the one thing, and not to bring this to wrestling.
Ten minutes into the show.
No, I'm not. But I told you for the second time last week, I watched the Andre the Giant documentary, and the thing that made me sad at the end, knowing that I never knew, was Vince McMahon divulging the revelation that he and Andre the Giant were not on good terms when Andre passed away in 1993. Now,
you're going to apply that to Belichick and Brady, or what are you doing?
I want these two
guys. Or you just want to talk about that again?
No, I want these two guys to get, what I'm saying is that, and I know Belichick is going to live until he's like 150, we hope. And I think Tom Brady will as well, especially.
Brady probably will live forever.
Exactly.
I would imagine.
He looks like even better than he did when he came in out of Michigan.
Right.
I don't want these guys to go through the rest of their life resenting each other. I want them to get this fixed ASAP.
But you wonder if it'll be, Belichick and Parcells. That was a relationship that was great, then not so great.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's necessarily great now, but we saw them together doing the 30 for 30, and it seems like they've sort of buried the hatchet and they're back on the same side. So maybe when you have these strong personalities like those guys, and maybe Brady, maybe it'll be the same way.
Dale, see what I'm doing here? I'm calling in the closer, Scott Pioli. I need Scott Pioli to come in from Atlanta.
Can he save them?
Invite them to, Nantucket Country Club or whatever it was?
Yeah. Pioli saved the day there.
Yeah,
who
would
be the Pioli in this scenario? McDaniels?
It'd have to be, I would
somebody?
Say McDaniels. I think it's a good call.
Maybe it would
Very
be him.
Good.
I think it would have to be Robert Kraft.
I don't know.
He's the guy who could save it. If anybody can save it.
Look, don't you think he's trying to?
I've said all along, I don't think they're pals. I don't think, they're not out on the vineyard.
Ever.
Right. They've never been, like buddies. And Belichick doesn't have that relationship with anybody who plays for him. I do think, now, there's a difference. Now, Brady said he loved him, but, it's that love.
Weird. Yeah.
I love
very
you,
spiritual.
Rich.
Thank you, Dale. I'm not going to say it, but I feel it.
You feel it. I think it was that type of love. I would have loved to have her follow it up with, but do you respect him?
Yeah, or just,
he definitely respects him.
But, what about some of the things, what do you disagree with? Because he's like, oh, there's issues that we have. Or he didn't say issues. She just repeated what he said at the end. Yeah. Oh, there are relationships. And then the very next question was the Deflategate, as so the press says. Mm. So she didn't follow up on the Belichick or the Billichick thing at all. Because she had her scripted questions. Some that she came up with. Some that I assume Scratchy came up with. Some that, maybe her team of writers came up with. But there was no follow-up at all. And again, I know it's not a sports interview, right? They had a lot of different things that she wanted to cover, but the door was open there for some more follow-ups to get specifics on how he feels about Belichick.
Well, do you guys think that Jim Gray is a TB12 employee? Because I do.
I definitely do. I'm with you, Dale.
Oh, I didn't thought of that.
Yeah. Some sort of a media consultant type of thing.
He is with Floyd Mayweather. He's with Mayweather. Listen, the week of Mayweather-Pacquiao, everywhere I saw Mayweather that week at Radio Row in Vegas, Jim Gray was with him. The whole entourage.
That's
they
bizarre.
Went out. How does he?
What an existence.
How does he leech on to these high-profile athletes? And he just
when we talked about last week, he was part of the brainchild of the decision.
That's right.
He was there. I mean, obviously, he did the interview, but they didn't approach him with that.
He did the TV show.
Yeah, that was his idea.
And by the way, I'm not saying it critically. I mean, if Brady wants to hire this guy to be a media consultant, that's fine. It's just a weird sort of thing because they've got a relationship on air every week on Westwood One.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Macy's, by the way. You have to say that, Dale.
I don't have to. I get nothing out of this. I have never heard anything related to that. And it does call into question now, if in fact he's a TB12 employee, well, what are the chances he's ever going to ask anything really critical?
I will say this about Jim Gray. I don't usually listen to the entire interview that he does every Monday Night Football, but we listen to a lot of this stuff.
Why not?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. What am I doing with my life? But we end up playing a lot of it during the year, and I feel like the weeks where there's a really important question to ask, Jim Gray does ask it. Like, as much as I like to give him crap for just the way he handles himself and, Tom, like all that stuff. And then we talk about Giselle all the time.
Good impression.
Thank you. Like, all that stuff drives you nuts. But, during Deflategate, he asked him about that. When Garoppolo got traded, he asked him about that. When he got suspended, he asked him about that. Or when he got back, I guess. But he was always asking him the questions you wanted to ask. Now, I'm sure Brady was prepped for it. He's not going to, press him with follow-ups. But the questions usually do get asked.
Yeah.
And do you think that Oprah went to Brady or did Jim Gray go to Oprah?
But yes.
I think that, yes. That part.
Well, wait a minute. I gave you two options. It's not yes.
Absolutely yes. Right. Yeah. Dale, you are absolutely right.
Option C.
I think you know what, Dale, at this juncture, to speculate, I think it was probably a combination of both, but I wouldn't doubt.
No, it's got to be one or the other.
Okay, then I think it's Tom Brady, because what we talked about.
I don't think
about,
Oprah reaches out to anybody. I know. I think they reach out to her. Does Oprah need to interview Brady?
Going on Oprah Winfrey is the equivalent to a certain extent of like going on Howard Stern. You know you're going to get the maximum amount of listeners in case viewers.
I don't think you do it all. I didn't even know the show existed until this week.
Well, you didn't. It's a different audience.
It's 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Let's not.
Well, you can replay it.
Well, let me put it
Oprah.
To you this way.
Facebook Watch.
How many people do you think in Oprah's audience are going to buy the TB12 method? Not many.
They'll buy the book. If she holds a book in her hand, people buy it. There's a whole track record on that. She makes number one sellers.
Yeah, she made Dr. Phil. He's not even a doctor.
I understand that, but you got to think about
Alex Guerrero. How's that common?
Think about her demographic. Who is her audience? Her audience ain't buying the TB12 method.
I don't know, Dale. They might be curious.
Dr. Phil.
They might be curious.
They're not buying TB12 method.
They might.
I bet they
now.
Do. Yes, they will.
They're just curious. Yeah. They might not do it. They might not buy the bands, but they're probably going to buy the book. They're like, oh, how did this guy? He was the 199th pick, and now he's the greatest Super Bowl.
She thought there were 200 picks in the draft, by the way.
She and Brady had good lines. Like, there's not too many more after that. That was a pretty good line. But
it's to get over with a completely new target demo, and it's the housewife demo, which is the antithesis for the most part of the guys who are going to be watching him on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night. So they knew what they were doing. It's all brand. I'm telling you, family.
I think it's a fail on Jim Gray's part. This is the exact demographic that's not going to buy the damn book. They're not
buying
that
book.
But
they're more aware of it. No, but Dale, Oprah has anybody with any subject ever on her show, and if she slaps an Oprah book club on it, everybody buys it. They're like, I don't know why you're interested in it, but I'm going to read it.
How many sports books do you think are in the Oprah
book
club?
Oh, I don't know. But believe it or not, I don't know a lot about the Oprah book club, except that it sells books. It moves product. That's where you want to go. That's where you want to go. And he's probably, if he did that same interview with Jim Gray and slapped it on Facebook Watch, not as many people are watching it. Like we are. Again, the people listening to us, you're driving around listening to sports radio, you're aware of it. But everybody else, and believe it or not, there are other people out there that don't watch the Patriots every Sunday. I know it sounds crazy, but those people exist. Now he reaches them a little bit as well.
And how about the replays on SportsCenter, NFL Network, on NBC Sports Boston? I mean, it's everywhere. Wherever you go, you're going to see this interview with little excerpts being played of Tom Brady sitting next to Oprah. By the way, you know what I love too? Especially you don't really notice it when you watch the clips, Dale. But when you hear it, you can hear the birds chirping in the background.
It is a beautiful ambiance.
Isn't it, Keith?
I really like that. Yeah,
her
very
backyard,
soothing.
She called it.
Yeah, her backyard.
Her backyard.
Well, they're both very spiritual.
Which is like, what,
so
the city
sense.
Of Chicago?
No, we call it Montana.
You're right. Yeah. Well,
pretty much the whole kit and caboodle. Look, it was interesting to watch. There wasn't a lot. Look, especially around here. Was there any real, revelations for any of us here?
Not really.
Going, oh, my God, I didn't know that.
No, but you know what it did for me is when we went through the final episode of Tom vs. Time, which he recorded with Gotham Chopra a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl, you could make the case that some of the things he said and the woe is me kind of doom and gloom attitude that he had was, all right, you just lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty fresh, maybe.
Well, and
maybe
he taped that the week after.
That's my point.
And he said on this, took him 3 weeks,
and here we are. We're months removed, and doesn't he sound like the same guy?
No, because he even said how quick he was to get over this loss as opposed to the loss against the Giants.
But you don't think he sounds like the same guy as far as his commitment to football?
Oh yeah,
down the road?
No. But
that guy sounds the same.
He got over the loss to Philly pretty quickly.
Yes.
From what he said.
He
talked to his kids, Vivi.
All right, maybe I'm not explaining it right. I mean, in the final episode of Tom versus Time, for him to say, "Oh, I got to find it. I got to make sure I'm motivated." Maybe you chalk it up to it being a Super Bowl loss, but 4 months removed for him to say, I don't really have an age on it, and as long as I'm still motivated, as long as I still want to do it, to me it sounds similar. Like you could make a case one or two more years and he's done.
I think ultimately, guys, this comes down to a battle of poker faces. It's who's going to outlast whom, and it's going to be Brady or Belichick. And Dale, I said this the first time I ever came on Dale and Keith, and you like, how do you know that?
Brady wants to win without Belichick, and Belichick wants to win
that's
without
just
Brady.
Dumb.
Dale,
they
come
just
on,
want,
Dale.
They just want to
come
win.
Come on, Dale.
Come
you
on.
Know I'm right.
Mark, it was as dumb then as
no.
it is now.
You polished it up, though. You don't like it a little bit more now?
No, it's
shinier?
Just as dumb. No? Right. They just want to win, period.
Okay, Dale, let me ask you a hypothetical.
Well, no, stop with your hypothetical.
No,
where's Brady going?
What do you mean, where's he going?
Where's he
going
to go win without Belichick?
No, no.
Well, he could.
No.
He could
no,
be here.
What I'm saying is that let's just – here's the hypothetical.
Belichick's not leaving, and Brady's not going anywhere
would you
either.
Trade Brady for Garoppolo
oh,
right
stop
now?
It right
617.
Now.
Well, I can tell you right now,
so
if
hard.
You call John Lynch in San Francisco, he hang the phone
James,
up.
James, I was kidding. Move back onto your point.
No, not, no, no. I would take Garoppolo over Brady
I
right
know
now.
You would.
Stop.
I know you would. I know you would.
I definitely
not doing that. We're not going back.
We got 3.5 more hours. We might do that.
Dale, if Belichick walked away after this upcoming season, it's over. After
it is more likely Brady walks away than Belichick.
No, but I'm saying if Belichick walked away after Super Bowl 53 at the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta, I think Brady plays till he's 45 because he's got his guy, Josh McDaniels. I'm telling you.
Well, that's
he
a
wants
hot one.
To
that's
win.
A hot one.
He
like
wants
that,
to
Dale.
Win
Come
without
on,
Belichick.
Assume that. That's
Dale,
a hot
Dale,
one.
How can you... Dale,
dumb.
That's not bad.
It's
not
bad.
It's dumb.
No,
they,
it's
all they want to do is win, Mark. That's all that matters to them.
There's an ego to both of them. And I tell you what, I think there's a part of Belichick that would have loved to have won with Jimmy Garoppolo without Brady to prove I can do it. It's my system.
Yeah, now, because then he'd be what? Oh, I don't know, the greatest coach who ever lived,
see,
which
think,
he is today.
I think there's more to the argument that Brady would want to win without Belichick than vice versa.
Thank you, Keith.
I would.
Thank you.
I would give him that.
I'm not telling you the other half of your argument is as dumb as
I
am.
I don't agree with the Belichick Garoppolo thing. I think Belichick just wants to win as much as possible wherever he goes. But I think Brady, because of this little bit of the tension that's going on, everything, the issues, him sitting out of OTAs, all of that, there's clearly something with him and Belichick, and we know he loves Josh McDaniels. So I'd be more willing to entertain that one than the other way around.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Mark James is in the house. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Tom, let me ask you, yo hablo español, tienes muchos patriotas fan en México?
You have a terrible accent, I know that. That's one thing I could translate.
The question is, do you speak Spanish and do you have a lot of friends that are Patriot fans in Mexico? Tom, we're only a week away from Christmas. Y'all done with your shopping?
Oh, man, Scratchy, I've got so much shopping to do, I don't even know where to start. This Christmas really crept up on me, so I'm going to Macy's tomorrow morning. I got a lot of gift shopping I need to do.
So will you be going in disguise now that all of Boston will be joining you there?
I always go everywhere in disguise around Boston. It's tough to get anything done if I'm not, Jim. So hat and a hoodie, that's my usual attire.
Tom, we kind of saw you in the buff, or at least anybody who wanted to had that opportunity.
Oh, my.
I don't have any comment on that one.
Well, Tom, what did Giselle think of the photos?
Jim, she feeds me every day.
All right, Tom, I guess you're going to put your football pants back on now.
I missed a couple of those.
I told you. Good interviewer.
Put your football pants back on, or any other pants that you have hanging around before the cameras start clicking away.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There he is. He's part of the team, part of that TB12 team.
It is the very first time in Tom Brady's career. This will be his 19th season, right?
Yep.
And this is the very first time I feel that he's playing, not necessarily to win a Super Bowl, but playing to further the brand. It's the first time ever I worry that football has taken a back seat.
Yeah. But they can be the same thing.
No, you're
can't
right.
They?
If he's successful, if he plays great. But I just,
like a player in a contract year, right? Like they're selfishly, they're trying to have the best year ever, but it can help the team, you know, depending on, you know, what they do. But yeah, that is very, very clear how important these things are to him.
I will say this. When training camp starts, I believe on July 26th in Foxborough, that this guy is going to be, I think he's going to be all in. I believe that, like, that killer instinct when that red light goes on and it's time to really get down to it, he'll be there. It's just from right after Super Bowl 52 to today, it's like, what's going on? It just seems like this is like the antithesis of everything we've ever seen from Tom Brady before in the offseason. And I mean, like, he had a kid born one time with Bridget Moynihan, and that was his valid reason for not being there. And I believe there was some other reason. But this, you could tell, it's personal.
Yeah, this is different.
This is a two middle finger salute to Belichick.
Yeah, because he had three kids and a wife business. Like he had these things a year ago, and he was talking about mid-40s, answers to the test, all of that. That sounded like a guy that was never going to go away. He even said mid-40s, and then we'll see. Like that's what he put on it. Yeah.
Satchel Paige. King in the podcast.
Yeah. He's going to play forever, basically.
Go till I'm 45, then we'll see how things are going.
Like,
I'm feeling.
God, then yeah, go ahead, trade away the backup. Who cares? You got this guy locked in. Like, he's your quarterback of the future. I don't care if he's 40. He's just the MVP, and he's committed to it. Now, after I think the combination of the documentary, the Oprah interview, all the stories that we've read, you said, well, wait a minute. This really could be it. This could be the last season.
It's the first time in Brady's career.
Yeah.
I wonder how committed he is.
Isn't that something, though? I mean, it really is. And here's the thing
I agree with you, Mark, that you know, okay, the football gets snapped for the first day of training camp, and he'll be out there doing what he always does.
There's still nobody you'd rather have for this season.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But all the stuff that led up to the first day of training camp is different this year. Different than it's ever been.
Yeah, sure.
Does that mean that he won't be as prepared for the beginning of training camp as he's been in the past?
No, I don't think so.
I do.
You do?
Yes. I don't think, and I'm sure that when he works, he's working very hard. When he is, I wonder if he's been working as much as he has in the past in the offseason.
Well, usually Instagram's pictures of him on the beach running, so I think he's going to be in good shape. I think he's going to be pretty pliable because, again, that's also part of the brand. Like, how awful would it look for TB12, the method, the whole industry, if he shows up and looks worse than he did, like significantly worse than he did, or gets hurt, or something? Like, any of these things negatively affect the entire brand. So even if he's not at OTAs, that doesn't mean he's not in the best shape of his life.
By the way, I'm not trying to play trivia here. You know the last team that lost the Super Bowl who made it back to the Super Bowl?
Oh, it's hard to do.
Do you know who it is?
That lost the Super Bowl.
And went back to the Super Bowl the next year.
Back to the Super Bowl. Ooh.
No. 93 Buffalo. 93,
really?
25.
And they did it 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Where they lost the Super Bowl and got back.
Right. The last time, huh?
It was 93 Buffalo. So,
because there's a good record, too, of teams not even making the playoffs.
There is that.
The Falcons did, but they weren't as good. But there's a lot of those teams that struggle.
No. The Patriots will make the playoffs by falling out of bed.
I'm not worried about that.
I mean, that's a joke. I'm just saying that, you know, so there's already that Super Bowl hangover, that ominous cloud that's hovering over one Patriot place. So then you have that. There's just a lot of – we never had so many variables going into an offseason, going into training camp in a month that we do now.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937, Jackson, Cambridge. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
Doing well.
What's going on?
Nice.
I wanted to help you out with the Tom Brady thing. I think you're missing
the most important point.
Very likely I am.
Yeah.
It goes back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Belichick wanted to sign him, I think it was $17 million, but you had to guarantee the kid that he was going to have the job after the season. And Belichick wanted to do that. That's what he was going to do.
None of those things you just said are real.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time following you right now. So he
wasn't going to sign here for $17 million.
No,
and he was never going to be guaranteed that he was going
to
be
the only way you're going to keep him is to franchise him, and it would have been more than that. And you don't have to make him any promises.
For one year, and by the way, and we've talked about this, as much, Jack, as I, pie in the sky, wanted this to happen, paying two players a quarter of the payroll.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a tough proposition.
But anyway, so what were you going to clear up for us?
why Tom Brady's so pissed off at Bill Belichick.
Is why?
It's because it's betrayal. You know?
Who'd he betray? He got rid of the backup.
No, he didn't get rid of the backup.
He did.
Bob Kraft got rid of the backup.
No, Belichick did.
But he's saying,
it was Kraft's decision. Okay, but either way, he's gone. So what are you going to do? You're going to hold on to that? Be like, oh, you wanted him? Well, he's gone.
No, I think this stems, Jack, from Alex Guerrero. I think it all goes back to that. I think that was the straw that sort of broke the camel's back. And it was weird because it happened right around the time after. Was the Alex Guerrero being banished happen? Did that happen prior to Jimmy G being traded?
Yeah, it's all right around there.
Yeah.
The same with the Wickersham article. Mm-hmm. It was all like around Halloween-ish, right? Late October, early November, I think, is when all that stuff came out. But, yeah, no, I don't really know what he was trying to say there. I think They had to make a decision on the quarterback. Again, we're not going to do this whole show again, but it could have been at the beginning of the season.
Don't tell me. Tell him over there.
I'm just telling Mark. They had to make a decision, and it could have happened at three different times. The beginning of the season, the middle of the season, the end of the season. And then it calls into question, too, the whole idea, which seems preposterous, or at least it did, was would they have moved on from Brady? And now you got to wonder if you're Bill Belichick. Maybe his answer all along was to move on from Brady. But even somebody like Robert Kraft, if it was just one more year of Brady, which now seems like a pretty good chance that could be the case, would they have done things a little bit differently too?
Here's a sort of an Oliver Stone conspiracy theory here, guys.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so they traded, you know, not quite a Keith, you know,
conspiracy. An Oliver Stone,
right? Yeah, we're gonna go there. So the Celtics trade, the Patriots trade Jimmy Garoppolo at Halloween. The whole Belichick-Guerrero thing happened around December 19th. So I wonder,
it was 2 months later.
It was almost 2 months later. You almost wonder if Belichick was just like, okay, I had to trade Jimmy G because of...
Oh, sure, yeah,
and so now I'm going to take something away from you since you took my future quarterback away from me.
Could be something to think about. Oh, yeah. Put it on the pile.
Nick's down in Florida. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how you doing? Just wanted to talk about the Oprah thing. I know you guys...
Sure,
okay.
And Dale, I respect you. But just the take that was a bad move on Brady's part. It's a little short-sighted.
Oh no! I didn't say it was a bad move. I just said
Brady made a misstep. Like it wasn't really good PR.
No. I have no issues with that at all. My point is, I don't think Oprah's audience is out there buying the TB12
method. That's what I wanted to address.
Okay.
They're not, but what do people buy books for, to read or to give as gifts? And I think probably about the same. And those wives are husbands who have beer guts or are limping around with bad knees, and they're buying books to give to their husbands to say, hey, look what Tom looks like at 40, 41, 42, whatever. This is what I want you to look like. That's what the demographic he's trying to get to as gifts for fat-shaped husbands, not for the actual women themselves.
If any of those ladies actually think that by buying that book they can make their husband look like Tom Brady...
They do, Dale.
God,
that's how
them.
These things they get do. Sold. They definitely do.
It's just a great coffee table book. It's a great present,
yeah.
Father's Day present. Like, here you go.
I saw this on Oprah. Yeah, please. I'm with you.
That's the demographic he was shooting for, I think.
But there's an uptick in sales of that book.
You're probably right. It would have been better, I guess, in that respect, if the show had happened like the week before Father's Day and not on Father's Day.
They're still moving product. They're still going to be moving books. And again, like, where else could he have gone to reach such a different demographic?
There's no other place.
You know, like, you can do the Tonight Show, and he's done that before. Like, he was on, slugging beers with Colbert? Remember? Like, so he did that. You did your own documentary on Facebook. But if you really wanted to reach out to a whole different group of people, this seems like the right move. Now, I don't know why it was on at 11 a.m. That's odd. But in this day and age, it doesn't really matter what time things are on. You're going to watch it whenever you want.
That's it. And the thing is about the replays and the people, the clicks that thing is getting now, in hindsight, like, whoa, look at this. Did you see this? Of course, most people didn't watch it live. They DVR'd it, or now they're clicking on whatever, NFL Network, saying, here's Tom Brady's interview with Oprah Winfrey. And it seems that this is just so uncharacteristic of the Tom Brady that we knew. I almost wish I could have that guy back from 2000 through about 2013, maybe 14. I want that Tom Brady back. This is a different guy. He's different.
I wish I'd known these numbers, you know, the week before. Today, as of right now on Amazon, Tom Brady's book is ranked number 689 in books.
That's that Oprah push.
I don't know what it was last week.
Yeah. It's gone down.
It's 689 right now?
Yes, today.
Well, the book's been out for a while.
Number 689.
That's true. It's been out a while.
Is the Bible still number one?
I didn't look up the Bible.
I can do that for you.
No, yeah. I looked up TB12
just
method.
Okay.
It is, however, number one in books on aging and longevity.
Number one there?
Yes, number one. Well, how many books do you think there are longevity?
Some. There's probably a handful of books there. I was saying, you should probably reach out to Oprah with the Bruins book coming out.
Oh, yeah,
fall.
I bet she'd jump all over that
opportunity.
Yeah,
of course she would. Yeah. She slaps the Oprah recommendation on there. You'd be moving all kinds of Bruins
books. I would.
Get on there.
She didn't know Bill Belichick's name. You think she's going to know Patrice Bergeron's name?
Maybe not.
Yeah,
no,
probably. Brad Marchand?
No, I don't think so.
Why is he licking people?
Yeah, she might have heard about that guy.
Who's this guy, Bob Cassidy?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, no, anyway.
That's probably not going to work. Jay's on the cell phone. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Jay.
Hey, you know, I haven't had a chance to call in for a while, and Dale, long time, all the way back to the beginning. Here's the deal. We get so caught up in, like, this drama and everything. It's like, why is this person doing this in the corner? And this person's running up the back stairs and talking about Tom over here and doing everything like this. I think it's as simple as this. Nobody's played at this level for this long and given this much to their career as Brady.
Nobody's been this good at this age, that's for sure.
Yeah, in most people's career in the NFL, is I think the average career is like 3 years. So if you get up to 5 years, then that's pretty good. Then you get up to 10 years, that's fantastic. If you get to 15, so we're dealing with uncharted territory.
Well, not uncharted. I mean, Warren Moon played until his mid-40s, and there are some, but not many.
Vince Evans.
Yeah, but Dale, I have a point to that, too. But none of them have been the best player in the NFL. Yes. You know what I'm saying? He's right. Still the best player in the NFL, which means that, like, he's not a backup. He's not Testaferdi, whatever.
Right.
So the deal is with
Steve
this.
Steve DeBird.
Most people are starting their secondary careers, you know, well before 40, even if they've had a long career in the NFL. So Tom is still trying to be the best player in the NFL while simultaneously, you know, he's got older children now and he's going to start thinking about his other stuff. So to me, it just seems natural that he would be doing these things. Like, most people are, nobody's ever been in this position before. So to say this is, like, Mark James, what did you just, your name? Where you,
it's Mark said, James, like, yes.
You want the Tom Brady from 2000 compared to now? I will take this Tom Brady.
Okay. Well, I'll take any Tom Brady, Jay.
He's a better player.
Well, I just want the guy who put football right up there as his highest priority. That's the guy.
How do you not know that he's not doing that? How do you not know?
He said it. If you saw Tom, the end of Tom versus Time, Jay.
Wait a minute. In a very aggressive industry, and the thing is a lot of times after a while you learn that less is more sometimes. Balance is better. And if you listen to anything he says, he's talking about balance. He's moving into the health and wellness industry. So the Oprah thing, I think, would be natural. So to me, I think all the other stuff is just a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Look, I will say this, Jay. There's no way that he could feel that he could put football first in his life when he has a wife and three kids as when he was single and had no kids. Of course it would be different.
Yeah. But he had
as it would be for anybody.
He's had kids for a while.
He's
though.
Had kids right. for a long time.
No, but I'm saying back when he was single and had no wife and had no kids, there was nothing else on his plate. Nothing else he ever thought about.
No, but
of course
even
that changes over the years.
But even a year ago, he was saying he was mid 40s, and now Oprah goes, "What does it mean? 43, 45?" And he wouldn't even answer that.
I know.
He was like, "Well,
I think the Patriots are his third priority in his life." That's all I'm saying.
617-779-7937. Hey, make sure you submit your Cumberland Farms question of the week for manager Alex Cora. It comes up during our weekly conversation with a manager every Wednesday during the season at weei.com/manager. If your question is chosen, you'll be entered to win the grand prize. Chance to have Cumberland Farms coffee with the manager. Oh, and us too. Courtesy of Cumberland Farms. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
And I think he just want, you know, he tells me I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
It's a big commitment. Sitting here laying here 3 days after the year getting my Achilles worked on my thumb. And you go, what are we doing this for? You know? What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
I certainly understand that, you know, within a week of a gut-wrenching loss in the Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles, those answers might not be there yet. It's fairly safe to say they're there now. He's done. He's back. He was at mandatory minicamp. He'll be at training camp. He'll be there for the opener. He'll be there for, you know, all those things going forward. So he evidently got the answers he was seeking that he was talking about. You know, why are we here? Well, we're here to play football again. Now, the question is, are you here to play football again because you really, really love football and love the New England Patriots? Or are you here to play football again because, damn it, I got another business I got to support?
Yeah, and it helps do that. You know, that it is directly tied. You know, his business looks a whole lot better if you have a guy who's 41 and 42 and doing something that nobody has ever done. He's already there, but if he continues to do that, it's going to be harder and harder to argue with it. But when he also talks about specifically, as long as I keep loving
the preparation, the training, and you know the commitment there. I'm not saying he's not working out on his own, but aren't OTAs a part of that?
Yeah, especially when you're talking about, you know, that guys that Danny Amendola's gone, Deion Lewis is gone. You know, you have to build a rapport now with Cordarrelle Patterson, Jordan Matthews, mm-hmm. Braxton Berrios, Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn. And you, and maybe they did for the few days he was there for mandatory minicamp, but especially coming off a Super Bowl loss. See, you know, when Tom Brady, if this all happened a year ago, what would everybody be saying? None of us would have been like, ah, who cares? He just won his second Super
Bowl.
Take
the time.
Yeah. He just won his second Super Bowl his last 3 years. Like, you know, get out. But now when you lose, it's a lot of finger pointing. It's a lot of uncertainty. It's a lot of discontent. It's a lot of internal strife. And all of a sudden now you start to ask these questions where a year ago you're like, I could care less if Tom Brady skipped mandatory minicamp a year ago. Who cares?
Yeah, nobody cares.
To the texter who says, you know, will you guys stop with the nobody's ever done what Brady's doing? Brett Favre had equal or better year at 40. The age of 40, he had a good year.
He did.
He finished 12-4, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Was he the MVP?
No.
Okay. No.
And then he fell off the planet. At the age of 41, all of a sudden, it was 11 touchdowns, 19 interceptions, 5-8 record. At the age of 41, he disappeared. Now, if you're going to tell me that at the age of 41, Tom Brady's going to disappear, you've got your case. By the way, Brady was better at 40 than Favre was.
He was better.
He was the MVP in the league, for crying out loud.
And by the way, where's the cliff, Max Kellerman? Huh? Where's the cliff that he was supposed to fall off 2 years
Favre
ago?
Favre fell off it.
But Brady hasn't.
Favre well, yeah, ended but up,
you,
yeah.
You don't know.
He has not yet
fallen off the cliff.
And then he won a playoff game, and then you remember he threw two picks in classic Favre fashion and lost.
Yeah.
You know, some thought so one of them was intentional for crying out loud. It was so bad. What is he doing?
Yeah. But then, yeah, so then 41, not only was he really bad, but then he was out of the league. Then he was gone. But, you know, but Brady's last year could also be at 41. He could mirror Brett Favre more than we think.
Bill's in Denver. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good, and you?
Doing great.
Hey, Bill.
Awesome. Good afternoon, gentlemen. A little quick thing, and it's kind of a Keyspiracy.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. I'm all ears.
All right, but I just got to give it to you in a couple sentences here. So we'll start off with the Garoppolo trade. Kraft said, you got to trade Garoppolo. You're not taking Tommy. So now Belichick is a little aggravated. You know, he's not happy. He could have got a lot more for him, but he said, you know what? I'm going to get him somewhere where he wants to be or he likes to be or my friend Shanahan, whatever.
Okay.
Second round. Let's start there because I'm so mad at Kraft for me having to do this. That's it. Done.
All
second
right.
round.
Yeah.
So now that goes and so now Tom's okay or whatever. I guess he's, you know, no problem, but Bill is a little aggravated that he had to do that, so he takes Guerrero.
All right.
Come off the field.
Yeah,
so now,
except he did all that before he traded him.
No, that was after.
The Guerrero stuff happened at the beginning of last year.
No, off the sideline?
Yeah.
No, it was December, Mark.
It was December. December 20th.
It was after the fact.
Yeah.
I think it happened, that may have been when we knew about it.
Oh,
but,
okay. That's when it was announced.
Well,
I mean,
sorry,
but anyway, Bill, all right, let's cut to it here. Hey, the Q-spiracy's got to be a little tighter. They got to be a little tighter.
It's coming. Okay, so it's like a volley. So now Belichick's aggravated. Brady's aggravated. So now, again, it happens again in the Super Bowl. Brady throws a great game, has an awesome game, but they keep out, you know. So now Brady's like, I'm going to one-up you. So here's where it starts, right? Here's where I think the conspiracy is.
Okay, yes. Lay it on us.
I think Brady wants to see how good of a coach Bill is without Brady. Who's better, Brady or Bill?
So how on earth is he going to do that? He's going to retire just to prove a point? He's not going to do that, is he?
I mean, Bill, they did go. They went 3-1 without him 2 years ago in the first four games of the season with Jimmy G and Jacoby Brissett.
He's not going to retire. No, I just think he's going to make it a lot tougher on Bill this year by not being at the OTAs, not getting chemistry with the guys, not.
Yeah, but then that looks bad on him. If he's not on the same page with the guys, who looks worse? He does.
I get it, but I don't think it matters to him.
Okay. All right, Bill, I like the commitment there. That's good stuff. It was a kind of a roundabout way to get to that conspiracy, but he got there.
He got there.
Mm-hmm. So he thinks that Brady, that Brady wants to see Belichick prove how good of a coach he is, even though he went 11-5 with Castle and 3-1 with Garoppolo and Brissett. But he's going to really want to stick it to him this year. So I don't know, Bill.
I think both of these guys are going to show up, both Brady and Belichick, and they're going to want to win. They want to put everything together.
Yes.
The thing that surprises me, guys, is just more
and I don't, maybe this did happen, I would have summoned them both to my office and say, let's get this bleep fixed now. That's it. And I don't know if it's happened. It doesn't feel like it has.
I will tell you that the Bob Holler Boston Globe piece about Guerrero being stripped of his sideline privileges came out on December 19th. But Holler wrote, quote, for reasons he has declined to explain, Belichick weeks ago stripped Guerrero of his special team privileges, restoring a measure of tradition to the team's medical and training operations. So it happened.
It could happen.
Right. Quite a bit before. The story came out December 19th.
Right.
But even
the trade
Holler
was
wrote,
Halloween.
Weeks which, ago is when he right. wasn't like, allowed on the sidelines anymore.
So it could have lined up even more closely.
So there goes my Keefspiracy, if you will, is that Belichick did this to
his
say,
response.
Belichick was pissed when he had to trade Garoppolo. We all know this.
I think so.
And I think he was way was like, okay, I'm going to show him who's running the team.
Stop. Because I'm sorry. I got to ask. You know it, Hal.
The Seth Wickersham article.
Okay, well, the gospel according to Seth is all you got then.
No, but Dale, Seth Wickersham.
So you know Belichick was pissed about doing it because Wickersham told you that.
But Dale, we talked about this before. You discredit Seth.
I know, I keep asking you how he was mad.
But then you when Keith brought up Albert Breer, you're like, oh, well, and you were like, you didn't want to give him credit. So who are you not giving credit here to?
What did you bring up?
No, Breer? This is one time you brought up Albert Breer, and you're like, well, I don't, you know, you were credible. And then Keith goes, he's credible. So I think
that's just because Keith has a list of guys. Some are credible, and some are insiders, some are not.
Ian Rappaport, outsider.
See, I try to keep.
You got to figure out who's in and who's out.
That's all.
Did the Seth Wickersham article not seem like it was leaked from Belichick's camp?
Hell no.
Oh, I thought it was Belichick. He looked much better than Brady did.
Let me put it to you this way. Belichick?
I don't think Belichick necessarily did
FOBs.
It.
Or FOBs.
FOBs.
Because Belichick ain't getting Wickersham on the hotline.
No. But after that whole article, he looked a lot better.
Yes.
Therefore, you just sort of go that way.
I mean, Dale.
No, but Dale, so if Mark thinks that Belichick was pissed about it and you don't agree, do you have anything that says...
No, all I ask is, how do we know?
No, but do you have any way of knowing that he wasn't?
No, I don't know. Yeah, okay. I don't know how he felt.
Got it.
We keep saying it like it's gospel. No. Mark keeps saying it like it's gospel.
Well, it's all conjecture on sports radio. You've got to believe it.
You don't present it as conjecture. You said, and I'll quote, we all know Belichick was pissed about trading Garoppolo.
Sounds better when you say that.
Like, do you think he was happy when they had to trade him for a second round pick?
I think that the idea that he was going to keep him through the end of the year is silly. It wasn't going to happen.
Okay, but I don't think that this was his prodigy. This was his guy. This was the guy that was going to...
I think you've overstated the prodigy aspect of Jimmy Garoppolo's tenure with the Patriots.
They took a second-round pick on him, I mean, in 2014.
Right, the highest they'd ever drafted a quarterback.
Ever. And Dale, look at what he's done. And you gave a... And he only trusts, according to Tom Curran and all the other credible guys, he only
insider.
Trusts... Yeah, he only trusts...
I just got to keep him straight.
I got him on the insider.
He's an insider. Yeah, Tom Curran, there's nobody I trust more than Tom Curran's word on the Patriots. I will say that much. But and even with the whole revelation that we found out the last couple weeks that he's a client of TB12, but still, I trust Tom Curran.
That's not new. I mean,
I trust Tom Curran.
I can tell you this.
Dale, that article from Seth Wickersham, I'm sorry.
I know, you got it tattooed on your ass, apparently.
No, but you don't believe anything.
That's incredible.
You think it was some blogger in a basement. Seth Wickersham's a pretty credible guy.
No, I don't mean that at all. I will tell you this. Alex Guerrero stopped being on the Patriots sideline and stopped traveling on the Patriots plane at the start of the regular season. That's when it happened.
Well, Bob Holler said that it was weeks prior.
Yeah, weeks.
Well, that'd be months.
How many weeks it was. The regular season is when those bans began.
So it was September.
Hmm. Yes.
Are you positive? How do you know this?
How do you know all the stuff?
I'm
telling you that it happened at the beginning of the regular season. That's how the season started, which, by the way, makes more sense to me than, you know, all of a sudden in October, hey, Tom, we're going
to
change
like
things up here.
Reaction to it.
Dale, by the way, they just killed my Keefspiracy, so thanks a lot.
Yeah, that will. You'll come up with more. We got 3 more hours. There's plenty of time.
We're not done yet.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
You just killed it, dude.
Sorry.
That sucks, man. Like, I this is like my
that's right,
sort
form
of revelation.
Another one.
Yeah, come on.
Jerry's in Brookline. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
I think you're right about the fact that the Oprah audience is not the one that's going to be buying Brady's book. But where I think Brady's team missed the boat was They should have had him on a week or two earlier because then his book would have been a Father's Day present and they would have sold tons of books for all these women that didn't know what to get their husbands or fathers for Father's Day instead of a tie.
It may well be that when, and I'm being somewhat facetious here when I say when Jim Gray set up this interview, and I'm pretending that he did, that, you know, they didn't have any
because
they
had
filmed
it earlier
over when it was going to happen.
They shot it way before Father's Day.
And I'm guessing that, do we have to have it run on Father's Day? Can't we have it run like 2 weeks before Father's Day?
Yeah, probably.
Get some juice out of this thing? Because I think you're right, Jerry. I think that for it to do the maximum commercial benefit that it could do, it would have had to come out before Father's Day. But I don't think Oprah's people much care about Tom Brady's book and whether it sells or not.
Probably not. And I think she retired the book club. I don't know if that's even a thing anymore.
Yeah, it isn't. Because she doesn't have a regular weekly show, a daily show anymore.
She got her own network, though, Dale. Right. That's even better than having her own show.
How about the you get a car and you get a car?
Just giving out stuff?
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't happen.
Really?
No, none of that.
If you look under your seat right now, Mark, actually, we got you a little something.
Yeah, I got Christian Fourier's used napkin that he didn't
most likely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking this. She's a bazillionaire, but my point is I didn't know that show existed until word came out that Tom Brady was going to be on it. Did you know that Sunday at 11 you could watch
no
Super Soul Sunday?
No, I did not. And I found out where OWN was on my Xfinity after words. I couldn't find it. Now I know where it is. It's like 8:57, so I didn't even know how to get the channel.
617-779.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
Oh, did you see this? Thanks to Twitter, Nick tweeted us saying that there was a jump on Sunday morning on Brady's book. He has the weekly track sales. Sunday morning, boom, little spike.
From what to what?
I can't really see.
The golden touch of Oprah.
It's got like a little graph. I can't see what the exact numbers are, but I do see the line go up.
We'll
Sunday
count
morning.
On it being up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.